is after them, but it's Fahin who's barely clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Fahin maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. Fahin's a champion. Artie Forrest.
Hello and welcome to the second part of our Cheltenham Countdown series. Delighted to say, Ruby Walsh and Rory De Largy are back to look ahead to the greatest show on turf, which is fast approaching. We're looking ahead today to the National Chase, but first the bumper. But before we get stuck in to what's going to win those two races, a reminder, if you are listening to this as a podcast, it is available in glorious Technicolor as part of our brand spanking new Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Now, there's loads of content, including last week's episode, on that particular channel. And there's a chance for you, if you like, comment, subscribe, to win a free bet. So do get liking, get commenting right now. You could win a free bet. We've already had, from last week, our first excellent question. We've had loads of questions, actually, but this one came out of the hat, and it's from Shane Moody Smith. I'll go to you, Ruby. This person, Shane, well done. You've won a free 50 quid bet. Anyone know what happened to St. James's Gate? Very good bumper horse last year. You should know.
I should know, and I don't know. I haven't seen him since last
year. At all?
Year.
In Clissudden?
No, he would have went back to Ballymore on him. Okay. Sean and Bernadine Mulrain. So he would have went home there for the summer. And they would always do the first couple of weeks with their own horses. They have the facilities before they would send them into training with whoever trains their horses. So I'm not saying he didn't come back into training. I don't know, but I don't recall seeing him in Willys now to just say it. But I stand to be corrected.
Yeah.
I shall text someone and find out.
While we're filming, it would be great. Yeah, what happened to him? He was third, wasn't he, in the champion bumper? So
yeah.
He's not going to be running the Ballymore or the Supreme then.
I haven't seen him anyway, no.
Okay, fair enough. Another good comment as well from lazybet.com, or at least a comment anyway. Flawless professional punditry from Ruby Walsh and Rory De Largy. Just favouring Rory De Largy in week one. You're behind, Ruby.
Oh, struggling as usual. But I did think I'm definitely ahead of you, PK, because
not a pundit.
This is episode two, not part two.
Thanks,
but you got not very irritating, so that's
yes, not very irritating.
There's no higher praise
That is a compliment.
I think it was not an irritating type. We'll go the full title. Thank you very much. Yeah, delighted with that. But look, it's about you guys, and we're going to talk about the bumper. Obviously, going to go straight to you, Ruby. First, let's talk about previous bumpers that you would have ridden in. The best Cheltenham bumper you rode in.
Oh, how long is a piece of string? I rode Alpha off and Q Card beat him. That was a good renewal, I would have said.
Q Card won a mile, didn't he?
He won a mile, yeah, as a 4-year-old, which was an incredible performance.
Off just one run?
At Fontwell.
Dun Gwib beat Rite of Passage. I rode in that race. He subsequently went on to win an Ascot Gold Cup. That was a good renewal, obviously. There's so many. Some years they work out better than other years. As a race on the day, I don't remember pulling up and thinking, wow, that was some race. So I don't honestly know the answer.
Okay, you mentioned the best winner you rode. You had a few.
Alexander Banquet went on to win a Royal Bond. Missed that, of course, probably wasn't as fortunate. He didn't last as long, he got injured, but he was a decent enough chaser. Briar Hill fell the following year in the Albert Bartlett. And that was it, was it?
What price is Briar Hill? Is he
25s.
25s? And you rode him. I mean, I'd say it cost the company a fortune because Ruby and the bumper, I mean, yeah. You were obviously number one jockey, 15 years at Willie Mullins, but it didn't seem like you had the pick. You mentioned Briar Hill there. Did that affect it? Did that bother you at all?
No, it didn't, but that was sort of traditional always. I know Willie rode Widder a Witch and then Richard O'Muddy rode Florida Pearl, but the following year, I was Willie's amateur and he left me on Alexander Banquet. Because bumpers in Ireland are confined to amateurs, or the vast majority, barred a couple of pro-ams which allow conditional professionals to ride in them, the bumper horses are ridden by the amateur. It's Patrick now, it was me before him. Not before Patrick, obviously there was Jamie Codd was there and Kevin O'Ryan, James Nash, John Cullen, but Willie has traditionally left the amateur on the bumper horses. So no, it didn't bother me. It got me going, so I most certainly wasn't going to moan about it.
Was it ever even like we sat down at any stage, you became the number one and you said, and Willie said to you, by the way, you're not getting the pick in the bumper, or was it just you knew?
I knew. I knew, and it never came up as a conversation. Obviously, Patrick rode Cousin Vinny. He rode Champagne Fever when I rode Pick Sue. I can't remember what I rode in Cousin Vinny's race. But no, it was never a conversation.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. good working model you have down there in Glasutton. Rory, champion bumper. Ruby's rattled off a few previous winners. We go back to Florida Pearl, went on to be great 3 mile chaser. We've had a lot of bumpers between them. Has it changed at all? Is the type of horse changed that you need to win the bumper?
I mean, you could say it's changed a bit recently. You've had some very, very good horses come through in the last 2 or 3 years. But whether that's an ongoing change, or whether it's just, you know, the fact that we've been lucky that there've been outstanding horses who've clearly been very, very good from an early stage, I don't know. And again, if you go back, if you're talking about Florida Pearl, there aren't too many bumper winners better than Florida Pearl. And you got, I mean, Monsignor won it at 50-1, and he was absolutely top class. Ran away with the Ballymore the following year. Dato Star was a horse who was good enough to win a champion hurdle. So you had absolutely top class horses winning the bumper from a reasonably early stage. There was a little bit of guesswork, I suppose, in the early days as to what was the ideal type for him, what the ideal preparation was, and most of the big trainers have a better idea now. I think the one thing that's changed is you've got big, big owners who are willing to spend money, particularly on point-to-pointers, to then come through the bumper ranks. And those horses are being more easily identified, and they're tending to end up in the big yards. I think in the very early days, anyone could have had a bumper winner. They were coming from similar sort of sources. They weren't necessarily costing a fortune. Those horses are now costing a lot more money, and they're tending to go to big owners and therefore to big trainers, who then might have a better idea about what the ideal type is. But we'll move on to what Willie's best horse for the bumper this year is, and you find out it's not an exact science by any manner of means.
No doubt, Briar Hill springs to mind. Ruby, has the Irish point-to-point now replaced the bumper, in terms of the bumper used to be you'd buy the horse out of the bumper?
That seems to be the general shift, yes. So, see, even from 2012 to 2017, there was a shift maybe from horses who started their careers in bumpers who would win at Cheltenham to more horses who had started in point-to-points. It was still, at 2017, was heavily stacked towards horses who started in bumpers, but say by 2022, it had swung right around. So less horses have started their life in a bumper and way more have started their careers in point-to-points, winning at the Cheltenham Festival. So, like, it is obviously the breeding ground for a lot of very good horses, but it's also become a brilliant filter system for the top trainers. So instead of having to have a pot shot at the store sales and trying to find a champion, those with the bigger owners can let somebody else take the pot shot at the store sale and watch them wait till they win a point of point and then give way more money for them.
Yeah, I was going to say, you pay for the privilege of not taking the pot shot, but that's it.
You do, but you're buying 10 hoping to find one and maybe two, whereas now you're just waiting to buy the couple you want.
Okay, let's talk about this year's bumper. Willie, obviously dominant in the race. Last three renewals. Is it fair to say he hasn't quite dominated the bumper scene in Ireland in the last few years the way he kind of was maybe 7, 8 years ago?
He did last year. This year, is he as dominant? Hard to say he is. He obviously has the favourite, and it's for me. Second favourite is Chapeau de Soy, who got beaten at Fairy House. But is it the same conveyor belt as it was this time last year? Probably not. But he won all four bumpers at Leopardstown at Christmas last year, and then they rolled on to the Dublin Racing Festival. So, look, that's cyclical. Even though he can buy what, or can compete to buy the winning point-to-pointers, that's still not an exact science, because that's a crop of four-year-olds beating each other in the point-to-point field, and you're trying to pick the best ones to then become bumper horses or maiden hurdlers. But whole crops can be good some year and be not as good the following year. So you just wonder, maybe are the class of 2022-23 as good as the class of 21-22?
Yeah. The old saying goes, when Aidan O'Brien was running, was a 6-7 in the Derby. If you're running 6 or 7 in the Derby, you don't have a Derby horse, I suppose.
Yeah, but I can remember Willie running 6 or 7 in the champion bumper and having 4 of the first 5. So picking the right one, maybe not. But I do agree with the sentiment. If you think you have 6, it probably means you have none. But also, if you have, when you get to like Aidan or Willie, they're not just picking one and leaving the other 5 at home. If different owners, if your horse earns a shot at the race, they're all sent.
It's slightly different. Let's talk about the horse who won at the weekend. It's for me. Mightily impressive for Isaac Swade and Simon Muneer. Now, for those of you who listened to the From the Horse's Mouth podcast on Friday, Ruby, we asked you about this bumper. Patrick had one in the race, owned it, but didn't ride it. You said, Patrick's chosen this one, it'll win. It was smashed up. It was very impressive.
Yeah, it was, and he was working that way at home, but I'm not sure just how strong a race it probably was, PK. And he was really, really impressive. Navin is always a good test of any young horse, and he won as authoritatively as you would have hoped he could. And it's a good stepping stone, but it's unlikely he will reappear at the Dublin Racing Festival. I'm not sure Willie would be keen to run him any later than that to step on to Cheltenham. Maybe he will, but I would have thought he'd be heading to Cheltenham on the back of one win, which can be done. Yeah. Alexander Banquet went there after winning in Goran Park.
Q card.
Loads of horses, so yeah. I wouldn't see that as a negative. But it is a hard race to get a handle on. And even for me, working in Willie's, looking at them and watching them, when you're looking at novice hurdlers, you have either flat form or bumper form maybe to go on, and you have an opinion, or even French form, and you have an opinion of a lot of horses before they start. Whereas in bumpers, Rory, you get to see them once. They're way harder to judge or gauge.
Chapeau de Soleil, this is my pronunciation. Patrick Mullins gave a pretty positive update on him, despite the fact that he was beaten on debut. How good was that run? Because he looked a bit awkward, didn't he, at first?
He did, yeah. You obviously would prefer had he gone and won, but look, Better Days Ahead did beat him 3 1/4 lengths. He did look awkward, but I do believe one Fernie Hollow looked quite similar in the same race and ended up winning at Cheltenham. What Chapeau de Soleil will be, and I'm not comparing him to Fernie Hollow. If I take my hat or take myself out of the Willie Mullins camp, are you looking at him and thinking, I'll oppose him? If I was riding against him, I probably would.
Yeah. Would you, like you said, it's hard to split all the Willie Mullins horses, and you've only seen so many of them on the track. But you did know that the winner of the weekend, Is It For Me, was smart.
Yeah,
look, so you must have known that he was, I don't know if he was top, or was he in the top three?
You never go to 100% at home.
Yeah.
You don't decide, all right, next Tuesday morning, we're going to have a race. All the bumper horses to the bottom of Gallop, and we're going to find out.
Could you not do that, please?
No.
Ahead of the next episode, would you do that with the novice chasers?
And you can't, because it's obviously Willie has all-weather surfaces, so are you going to get a true reflection of what they'll do on grass anyway? No. So what was It's For Me doing? He was doing more than enough to suggest he would win a bumper.
Yeah.
How good he is, you never know. But if you can't find out at home. You have to keep the dream alive and hope they'll surprise you at the track.
Fair enough. Going back to Chapeau de Soleil, hung a fair bit. Still a young horse, still learning. How tricky will it be for Willie, for Patrick, for everyone else at the yard, whoever rides work, to teach the horse how to race between now and Cheltenham?
Sure, look, obviously we didn't think he would do that when he went to the tracks. You're hoping he will have learnt a lot from it, and you'll make the natural progress with him that you will with every horse. He won't be ridden any differently. He won't be asked to do anything different.
Okay.
You just hope the penny drops with him and he learns that that's not the way to race. The way we're trying to ride you every morning is actually the way we want you to race.
So it is more of a natural kind of learning on the job type thing rather than a different bridle or something like that.
Look at it everywhere. So you set up a team in football. Some players get the system quicker than others do. Same with technique. Some need more practice, some just get it. And horses are no different.
Well, so he's not an Anthony then for Man United. He's going to learn faster than that fella is. He's brutal, actually. Anyway, Rory, let's talk about the Queen's Gamble. She's probably the best of the Brits, but you know, British horses, we know, don't tend to win this race, but she's looked very impressive.
She has. She's looked very good. Both runs at Cheltenham. One at the April meeting last year when she beat a well-established listed winner of Milton Harris's. She was getting a fair bit of weight that day. She was getting a stone from the runner-up, but she won very easily. She looked at least on a par on her debut with that one. She wasn't massively fancied. I think she went off at 16-1. She travelled really smoothly through the race, held up. She's made her ground very easily. And you're slightly worried with a horse who travels easily through the race, makes the ground. Are they going to find much off the bridle? Are they just doing it on the bridle naturally? But when she was asked for her effort by, I think, Johnny Burke wrote her both times, she's taken off and she's careered up the hill to look very impressive. Did exactly the same thing again against a mare with a useful level of form in Bonte at the November meeting at Cheltenham. Again, she was getting weight from Bonte, who'd been won in listed company before, but not very much on that occasion. And again, she did exactly the same thing. She travelled really well, held up, made her ground easily, and then when she asked to put the race to bed, she's quickened away and won it by a margin, looking like there's more to come from her as well. So she's very solid. And in a year when you're struggling to find very solid contenders, she certainly stands out in terms of British contenders. And I think she has to be right up there with all of them.
We can't just rule her out because she's trained across the water, right? Or can you?
No, but listen, you don't get many British trained winners of the bumper. You get the occasional one. There just won't be many British trained runners in the race. Mm. And by definition, that makes you a lot less likely to win it. occasionally you will get one or two thrown in there at the last minute. Sometimes you'll get horses who are, you know, who are trained for the champion bumper. I'm struggling to find anything apart from her that is actually looks like it's being aimed specifically at the champion bumper. I've gone and forgotten his name now.
But you said he wouldn't forget anyone.
Yeah, I know. Neil Mulholland's horse who came from Colin Bow, owned by Ollie Harris, okay, won by 13 lengths on debut at Doncaster.
Good knowledge.
I know all Google the information, it. I've just forgotten the name of the horse.
Ruby's
again.
Got an iPad there, so I'm sure he'll be
Ruby's looking, but he still can't find him. Wilmot.
Wilmot.
Thank you.
He's promising. Now, the interesting thing about Wilmot is that in most years, he would have been either with Willie or he would have been with Gordon, because Harold Kirk tried to buy him and Eddie O'Leary tried to buy him.
They both failed.
It was Neil Mulholland who got him. Neil would be very well connected with Colin Bow and clearly thought that that what he'd heard about this horse was very sound. And he had an owner who was willing to spend that kind of money. Not an owner we know an awful lot about, Ollie Harris, but he's clearly...
Clearly got money
and clearly would like to have a big winner or two, and I would have thought that he would go to the Cheltenham Festival. I don't think he was asked about it specifically after the race, other than, you know, when he got the horse, he said he tried to win a bumper with him. Most British trainers want to win a bumper and then send a horse over hurdles the same season. And they've got a different kind of agenda with good bumper horses. It is seen by most big trainers as an education for their promising would-be hurdlers and chasers. Nicky Henderson did, I think he ran two or three a few years ago, but he did it. He said it was an experiment. He didn't particularly like the way it went, and he's not really going to do it again. Paul Nicholls isn't really going to throw horses at the champion bumper, and there's not much else in terms of what they've shown. Wilmot, what he beat at Doncaster is probably nothing special, but he did it very nicely. He won his point-to-point in good style, caught a lot of eyes there. As I said, a lot of people were very keen to buy him. He travelled really strongly and came away from his field without having to be asked any serious question at Doncaster. So we know that he's very good. Whether that's good enough to be competitive in a champion bumper, I don't know. There's a listed bumper at Newbury next month. I'd like to see him in that. Okay. If he's in the confirmations for that earlier in the week, I'd be inclined to back him for the champion bumper.
Okay.
Right. If he's not... And I'll keep my powder dry.
Leave him alone. Okay, interesting. Keep an eye out for Wilmot. Right, Ruby, let's run through all of the winners from Clissutton. Westport Cove, nice winner of Ferriers.
Yeah, and did things wrong. Was quite keen early on at Ferriers. Actually was very green looking early on, but did quicken up really well and won impressively. But I suppose, and it's a wrong comparison, but it's like kind of compare two-year-olds going to Royal Ascot. That's what you're talking about with bumper horses. You just don't know enough about them. And whichever one really took your eye, you thought, wow, maybe there's a bit more under the lid there. But look, yeah, he Westport Cove was impressive at Ferriers.
Okay, let's go back. Did you ever know going over to Cheltenham that'll win the bumper? And it did.
No.
No.
You often hoped horses would go and win, but you never know how good somebody else's is.
None you thought, this has shown me the potential, or this has literally shown me that it's going to win.
Oh, a couple of them had, but like because they were Morning Glories, they never quite delivered on the track. So you're trying to find that form. They showed you all the pace and the gears and the speed at home. Like, we had nothing that could work with Royal Alphabet. Unfortunately, he never got 2 miles. Mm. He only got 1.6 miles. So, you don't know.
That's always likely the way, isn't it, with horses who are really good workers, that they've got too much speed.
Yeah, that they're really precocious at home. Usually they're too...
Yeah, so Royal Alphabet, I was going to go the other side then. Did you ever go over thinking, yourself and Willie and everyone else, David Casey, this is winning the bumper, and then it didn't, or ran stink? Like, did you ever think that?
A couple of favourites ran bad, the occasion got to them, and they
that's
boiled.
That's part of it.
They boiled over. You don't know if they're going to take that either. Yeah. And they boiled over, probably even Briar Hill was 25-1, but it didn't matter what you walked Briar Hill, but he never walked well, but he never walked bad. He never showed you anything at home. Then he went to the track. He's a different horse. So, like, it's not an exact science. There's no one trying to pull the wool over somebody else's eyes. It's just young horses you don't know.
Factor file? You won a 2.5 mile bumper.
Stayed well.
Yeah, does that mean if he wins a 2.5 miler that he's not likely to go over the bunker, or is it better?
I don't know. He's in the Dublin Racing Festival, so that'll tell a lot for him. Beat Irish Panther that day, so... I'd imagine he'll go to the DRF.
Okay.
Appreciate has won that in the past.
He did. Appreciate has won that.
Chat about if he's running over 2.5 miles, he's surely not going
to
be.
And is it an advantage to have one over further, given they're likely to go quicker than they had?
Not really.
No.
They're all, most of these are national unbred horses, so you'd be hoping that at least they're 2 miles.
Okay. Fair enough. Apart from Royal Alphabet, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Ile Atlantique won at Leopardstown over
Doesn't
Christmas.
Qualify.
Exactly. Explain that to us.
Ran over hurdles in France.
Okay, so
ran on the flat in France. I know he doesn't qualify.
He ran over hurdles in France.
Ran over hurdles in France. Doesn't qualify.
Okay, so he doesn't qualify for DRF either.
He could qualify for DRF.
I don't think he's in the entries.
He's not entered. So
yeah, he definitely qualifies for Punchestown, but he doesn't qualify.
So
for
he himself. Qualifies for the Punchestown bumper, but not for Chatham. So do you think that he'll stay? Because will he stay in bumpers this season?
I'd imagine so. Yeah, I'd be surprised if he went jumping. I'd imagine he will go. Did something else follow that path last year? Hunter's Yarn.
Okay.
Maybe it wasn't Hunter's Yarn. But we have had horses in the past that, because they'd run in France, they're eliminated from Cheltenham, but they still can compete in Ireland. And bumper, and there's different ways of seeing it. Because he ran over hurdles in France, he can run in an Irish bumper. Had he run in an AQPS, what we would consider bumpers in France, he can't run in an Irish bumper because it's considered a flat race in Ireland. And whereas in the UK, they view them as national hunt races, and you can come from an AQPS race to a bumper in the UK. You can't go from an AQPS race to a bumper in Ireland.
Venn diagram in the
it's a different way of viewing it.
Yeah.
And if you look through the AQPS race in France, you will notice that all of those horses are ridden by French flat jockeys.
Yes.
Explain what AQPS means.
Ultra Coupure Sang. So other than
not quite
pure
thoroughbred.
Blood. Yeah. But yeah, it means non-thoroughbred.
Non-thoroughbred. Yeah. And explain that.
They're 1/10. Is it down to 1/10 now? 1/8?
1/8, I think. But
1/8.
Yeah.
They're not 100% thoroughbred.
Thank
and those
much.
Horses cannot go to America to race.
Oh, okay. Right, okay. Getting very technical here, but I just wanted to explain, or the guys to explain that. Did I ask you that? Runner-up at Christmas. Is that a fact that he was runner-up suggesting maybe he won't go?
What's he by?
What's he by?
He looked like he should have won, didn't he, at Christmas?
Oh, that's Ballymore. Sean Mulroney's horse was too keen in the champion, in the bumper on Stevens' day. He'd walk in the park, yeah. He did things wrong, but I'd imagine if he settled better and went to Mon, he would be heading there, yeah.
How big of a statement when we get the declarations P. Mullins is riding? Is that,
that's his
he's
choice.
Not going to get it wrong, right?
I think he has he?
It won't be entirely his choice. He thought, will Darrell get the choice of I suppose the same situation as you. Darrell might not get the choice because of the bumper.
No, he won't, yeah. Willie will say, no, look, if Patrick doesn't ride him, of course, Darrell goes into the reckoning. But
yes.
I'd say Patrick says, by the way, I would like to ride him. Yeah, he'll be right.
Yeah. Okay. But if it was a novice hurdler...
But I haven't had that conversation, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Darrell might get first choice with a novice hurdler.
Darrell was in Ireland last Thursday and Paul rode night and day in Clonmel, so I think maybe not. But again...
There's more to just training horses than training horses.
They're kind of the unwritten questions you don't ask, you just see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to ask. Facile mode, very impressive, Rory, at Leopardstown. I have in the script here, Rob wrote the script... What chance will he still be running for Tom Mullins, expecting the big owners to come in for him? But I'd say he probably will.
I thought the answer to that was that would be an ecumenical question.
I'd like
to think he'd be running for Tom and Helen Mullins. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say they'd love a bumper horse. He's favourite for the bumper at the DRF. He's been well backed, 5-2 and 7-4 already, so he's obviously smart.
I'm not sure I'll be backing him for... That's going to be the key race, isn't it?
It's a trial, yeah.
That is the big trial, and...
It's not a trial course, it's a 100 grand race.
Of course it is, but that's...
It's bloody hell worth winning, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, there's limited entries for that. It's not like everyone's throwing everything at the board. The big trainers, Gordon and particularly Willie, because, you know, we'll get on to what Gordon has for it, they're sorting out their best horses, essentially, and that's the perfect race to run in. Because of the timing as well, isn't it? The class of the race, et cetera, et cetera. So, Facile Mode was impressive. He wasn't, I think, was he 16-1 on debut? But there were plenty of winners in that race already. It was a winner's bumper. He is nothing special on pedigree, although people who go back a long time, he comes from the family of a horse called Caribee, who was the best horse David Nicholson ever trained. But sadly... He was very hard to train. He beat the Supreme first and second pointless at Aintree as a novice, and Nicholson was convinced that he would win the Champion Hurdle and then he'd go and win the Gold Cup or what. He just was an absolute monster.
Orange and black colours, no?
He might well have been, yes, the Robin's colours. So there were two. Also, there was a full brother to him called Alakine, who Jenny Pittman rated very highly on, who was killed in the Supreme. But Caribee was going to be an absolute superstar. I think he stayed in training for about 4 seasons, but never ran again. He always had problems. And this family have had injury problems. You go back to the last couple of generations, they haven't been anything special. There have been bumper winners in there, but they haven't really gone on. But he does look a bit of a throwback to the classier members of that family. Travelled really well through the race, got into a bit of a barging match. Barging Liam Burke out of the way, I'm not sure I'd do that. and then came through and won very well. Now, with maybe a more interesting question is, if he's running for Current Connections, is he going to be ridden by Charlie Mullins on the day as well?
Charlie Mullins, yeah.
So Charlie claimed 7 there. So, you know, with Charlie's claim, he was receiving £11 from the third and £7 from the second at Leopardstown. You've got to factor that into some degree as well. But he did do it very nicely.
He did. He was impressive. Yeah. And can, I don't know, can you claim at the Dublin Racing Festival?
I was about to ask you that question.
Grade,
I assume you can't. It's grade 2?
Grade 2. I wouldn't think not.
Surely not.
Yeah. I know if it was over jumps, I would guarantee you cannot. And yeah. I'm assuming the same follows through onto the bumpers.
Well, they can't claim in
they
the
They don't. You can't claim because you even know by riding arrangements in years gone by over trying to find amateurs without a claim to ride in the race.
Yeah.
Tricky. But very, very good horse. We look forward to him. You mentioned Gordon could have something. He definitely has a few things. What has he got?
Well, he's had a few disappointments. You know, he tends to come through the same, bring his better horses through the same races. And
Den Royal usually,
yeah,
isn't it?
And he won that race, but the winner disappointed at Leopardstown. I think he had 3 in that bumper at Leopardstown, and they'd all looked very promising, and they all were well beaten on the day. Now, there's 2 ways to look at that. Maybe they're not as good as they thought they were. Maybe Gordon's horses just weren't quite right at the time, and it might be worth writing those off. But that's difficult with a bumper horse. To have them not hit their mark halfway through the season and then get them on course for Cheltenham, you'd be more inclined in terms of the future to you know, try to sort that out rather than going to Cheltenham with a horse who hasn't had an ideal preparation. So he's got he's got two in the DRF bumper. He's got Poor Le Feel in there, who isn't in the betting for the champion bumper with Paddy Power. So the suggestion is he might not be going, but he looked pretty good on debut, turned over a hot pot of willies. And then you've got Better Days Ahead, who of course won the bumper on Royal Bond Day. And Better Days Ahead looked pretty good that day, but he did get the ideal run through the race. He came wide, he came from the back. I mean, it's worth bearing in mind how nasty the conditions were that day, and that's largely why I'd forgive the favourite that disappointing performance, because having to lead, going around the inside, getting the worst of the rain in your face, I could see why he looked an awkward ride, and he did look like he was going to drop it to last and then run on again. But Better Days Ahead won it, and he has to be. He looks like pretty much the one of Gordon's that you'd think might be a contender there. Unless Working Away comes through the mare's bumper at the Dublin Racing Festival. She's not raced under rules yet, but she was an impressive point-to-point winner. She costs quite a lot of money, runs in the Jigginstown Silks, from a good family as well. She might be a surprise package.
Jigginstown never won in the bumper?
They don't like it.
Or Michael or Eddie doesn't like it.
Yeah, for a long time they didn't like running horses there.
At all in bumpers, though? There was
bumpers were okay.
Just
the champion bumper particularly. Yeah. I think things might have changed since that. But, yeah, again, you couldn't really be backing something like Working Away, who's not raced yet and just has an entry at the Dublin Racing Festival. But she might be just worth keeping half an eye on and see how she's shaping up for that. And, you know, if you're going to be a really, you know, shrewd anti-post punter, maybe the way to play a race like this is look at the entries for those what are liable to be key races and see what's just getting a little bit of interest in the market or what's jocked up and think, right, well, that looks like it's intended, and it might be quite smart, and you know, try to snaffle big prices about it. But I'm not.
So check the entries for the DRF, the champion, not the future champions bumper, and the mayor's bumper on the Sunday, and then watch out for the Newbury race, the Game Spirit Day, Chase Day.
Yeah, if you can, I'd like to see a bumper contender, especially in this season, running in that window and showing what it can do, and of course. You can't simply wait until something bolts up by 10 lengths and try to get on afterwards. You have to be a little bit clever about it. Well, that's what people were backing.
Is it for me?
At
massive
prices. Yeah, he was 25s.
Okay.
So and then you know, and he's in the race, and he's being punted, and Ruby's tipped him up, and they're putting 2 and 2 together and going, well, he might as well back this at this price now because if he wins, he's going to be a fraction of that price tomorrow, which is exactly what's happened.
Yeah, he's fab now. Okay, right, decision time. I know you mentioned it's difficult this far out, but let's make it a decision, Ruby. Give us the winner of the bumper.
For value, I'll go with Chosen Witness.
Chosen Witness for a bit of value each way. Lovely. Rory?
I didn't mind Chosen Witness of Willie's, I have to say. I'd like to know whether it's the intention to run Will Mount. I think he'd be he's sort of 20-25 to 1. He'd be interesting. One I haven't mentioned, actually, sorry, that we're wrapping it up and I'm going to throw a different horse in there altogether.
Well, I didn't even talk about Chosen Witness.
John McConnell.
I didn't ask you.
John McConnell's horse, Encanto Bruno. One is his point-to-point. That was two finisher point-to-point, but the runner-up.
But you won it.
Won a bumper on his debut as well and looks one of Gordon's that looked very promising and then disappointed at Christmas. And then he won his bumper debut, and that's worked out nicely. And then he won a slowly run bumper at Cheltenham in, was it October or November? October, I think it was. And generally, the write-ups in that race were, just ignore this form, it's an absolute farce. I didn't think that at all. I thought the horse he beat is a horse of Ollie Murphy's called Strong Glance, who's won all his races apart from that. Looks very promising. And Encanto Bruno won it really nicely. And John McConnell said, we thought he was very good. He's green. He's inexperienced. He needs to strengthen up. I'm going to put him away to the spring and run him in something decent in the spring. Mm. Didn't say champion bumper, but he'd be very interesting. He's 25-1, and you know, again, I'd want to see the entries in the first place. You don't want to back something that's not even entered in the race. But I'd like to hear one or two trainers state that that's where they want to go with their horses, and there are a couple there who are not entered. If you want to back something really solid, I think Queen's Gamble is a solid contender. I should mention with her. I'd like to see her run in that Newbury race. Mm. And obviously, she's a dual winner, so she'd have more penalty, weight than she's had in the past. She'd been getting weight from other horses in her first two starts. I'd like to see her against the boys. I think it would do her the world of good. Even if she ends up getting beaten in a prep race, it's not the end of the world. Oliver Sherwood has wanted to run her. He had her penciled in for the Henrietta Knight bumper at Huntingdon pre-Christmas. And he had her penciled in for the Alan Swinbank bumper at Market Raisin, and that was lost. Yeah. So, you know, he said he's keen to get a run into her. She's not been able to get a run. The last I heard him, he said, well, if she doesn't run a Market Raisin, I don't mind going straight there with her. Okay. But I'd really like to see her run again. Not that you need three runs in bumpers. I just think, since he's clearly been itching to run her, it'd be a shame if she ended up sort of having to back off her a bit and then bring her to Cheltenham fresh. I think another run would do her good. I think she is very solid. She's got the Cheltenham form. I don't think that gives her a massive advantage over Irish runners who haven't come to Cheltenham, but it's a plus for her that we know she handles the track, and it's a plus for her connections knowing that it's a good race to aim her for. And it's just a case of whether she gets another run into her or not. But she's solid. Yeah. You can't really knock her credentials.
Okay, so well chosen. Queen's Gamble, but if you want to have a tipple, look, it's anti-post. Anti-post is anti-post. You try and get the value.
Yeah, well,
Will Mount and
If I got the nod that, and I don't mean the
not public, in a wink.
If I got the public nod that either Will Mount or Encanto Bruno were intending to go to Cheltenham, I think both of those are interesting from a point of view that they've been quite impressive and they could easily have more to offer as well, and they're a working man's prize.
Neil Mahon, not part of your world? Not the same parish? Similar-ish parish,
yeah. Same accent. Too far away, yeah.
Similar accent, anyway.
But yeah, I
can't... There's only six counties up there.
There's more than six parishes, definitely. There's more than six parishes. Okay, Ruby, Chosen Witness, you threw out of nowhere. So tell us about this horse and tell us why he's your tip.
Hey, look, it was just value. He's double-figure odds, and I thought he won well at Limerick. Jody Townend rode him. He's by Chosen Witness, by Well Chosen. Really should stay, and I thought he showed enough of gears in real testing ground. He always looked like a winner in Limerick to me, so I think he'd be better on a bit better ground, and he was just a good price.
And he goes.
He's won a bumper. He's qualified. There's a fair chance he'll go.
Okay. How many can you get in the truck? What's the biggest truck?
They would take 11 travelling within Ireland, but they wouldn't put 11 on them going to England. They'd give him a bit more space when they're going to be on the truck for that long. But... we'll just get another truck, PK.
What was the one that just got in because it was space?
Joe Cullen. Yeah, but that was back in the day when there was only one truck going.
Said, look, we've got a space, throw him on, and he wins the bumper.
Or maybe there was two trucks and he was filling up the last all in one, but now it doesn't.
That doesn't happen anymore. No.
That was the bumper that had the great joke attached. Well, not a great joke, it was a terrible joke attached. Whereas people come in and say, I've had a tip for a horse called Tuesday. He runs on Wednesday. Don't blame me if he's still running on Thursday.
You're right.
Which he pretty much was.
You're right, it was.
I know I rode him, didn't I?
Did you?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think I rode Tuesday, yeah.
Good man. Right, quick break. We're going to look ahead to National Hunt Chase when we come back. We're also going to get some questions from you. Stick with us.
Betting can add a little excitement to any sporting event.
But only if it's done safely, responsibly, and within our means.
Never gamble when angry or feeling low.
Set yourself a limit for time, money, or both.
No matter what the problem is, gambling is never.
Is never.
Never the answer.
There is always someone to talk to when you feel gambling is becoming a stress.
Check out responsiblegaming.paddypower.com.
And we're back. Before we get on to the National Hunt Chase, a reminder, if you are listening to this as a podcast, you can watch it on our Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel, which is available. Loads of really good stuff on it. And if you like, subscribe and comment on these particular episodes, you've got a chance of winning a free 50 quid bet, as we've already done on this very show. We hope to have this out at 12 o'clock every Tuesday. So that's the time to tune in for each episode as we get closer to the festival. So get liking, get subscribing and get commenting. Right, let's get on to the National Hunt Chase. Ruby Walsh, we get on to the National Chase. I want to ask you a quick question. Nice and quick here. If you were to take away one thing from the Cheltenham Festival, Ruby Walsh, what would it be?
Oh.
Yeah, coach, I'm out there.
Can you catch me in the hop? Take away something?
Could be race, could be anything else.
No, I wouldn't take away any of the race, I don't think. There's no doubt, as people will say, when it was only 3 days, it was more competitive, it was more condensed, but that ship has well sailed. That is not going to happen.
Gone, yeah. So it's going the other direction.
If I was to take something away, I would take away the idea of making it any bigger.
Okay. They kind of sort of
or
did
longer.
That, but they pushed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but it pushed it down the
pushed
road.
It kicking,
I would,
kicking
that was
said
the
can.
One thing I would take. I would take away the idea of making it any longer.
Okay. Rory, if you were to add something to the festival, not obviously a fifth day.
No. You might have to lose a race for it, but I've always liked the idea of having a cellar at the Cheltenham Festival. You used to have a
Ruby
cellar in the
it.
Old days. Ruby does love it. Yeah. But back in the pre-festival, when it was just the
it was the Cheltenham,
the
was
National
it?
Hunt. It was called the National Hunt Meeting.
Oh, okay.
It started off with the Birdlip Selling Hurdle, which was once won by Lester Piggott.
Wow.
Riding a horse called Mulsack, I think. That was Lester's one winner at the Cheltenham Festival. They won the Triumph Hurdle, but that wasn't at Cheltenham in the day. That was at Hurst Park.
Okay.
So just in case anyone emails in about that.
Just in case anyone's new to racing, explain in 30 seconds, what is a cellar?
A cellar is a race in which the winner is sold by public auction immediately after the race. And usually the other horses are available to be claimed for a set fee. But the winner is sold, and there's a bit of drama involved in the selling of a horse there. Cellars tend to be poor quality races. The horses who win them, often horses who are either, you know, quite old or they've got issues, or the trainer would like you to think they've got issues. And they tend to be, you know, historically, they've been the medium of gambles. But there's a lot of intrigue about a cellar, and I like the idea of bringing something different to Cheltenham with the race like that. Now, the question is, what kind of cellar it would be? Whether you wouldn't just transfer a cellar from Plumpton to the Cheltenham Festival. You'd have to have certain conditions. You'd have to work out who was liable to put horses in it, how you would frame it, whether it would be sort of a high-end handicap or maybe just slightly lower grade than the ones we have at the moment, or whether it'd be a conditions event for young horses, where the idea is, as you have at Cheltenham at the moment, you have big sales after all the race meetings or during the race meetings, where horses go for an awful lot of money. You could actually have young, unexposed horses in there. Ruby suggested, in trying to turn this around to something vaguely sensible, you could actually auction the horses before the race, so people would be buying a prospective runner at the Cheltenham Festival. And you know, people are always inclined to buy horses before the Grand National or whatever it happens to be. But yeah, if you had an auction at the start of the festival for horses who are running a couple of days later and then have them all in their new kit and all the rest of it. Yeah, so...
Guaranteed Cheltenham.
Well, we have that
could,
with Royal Ascot
you could
as well.
Flesh it out. So the idea of making a pre would be because if you bought the horse, PK, you would like the horse to run in your colours. So providing you left all the horses in the race card in blank white colours, and when race cards become digital... Yeah, if you bought the horse an hour before this seller that Rory wants to run, it could wear your colours and run in your name. That would be as everything becomes more digitalised, and I'm assuming there will eventually become a day where a paper race card won't exist.
Will happen, yeah.
Yeah, it will happen. I'd imagine you could make the alterations immediately as to whose colours they were running in and who actually owned the horse. So that's quite fanciful and far-fetched, but... Mm. I think that would have to become, that would be the only way to me it would work, even though I have no interest in seeing a seller at Cheltenham.
But it would make great, however you did it, whether you were doing sort of a sell, an auction pre-race, or whether you're having just an old-fashioned lay them out for a gamble seller at the festival, it'd be great TV, it'd be great drama, it'd be something that you could cover very easily, and it would, you know, things tend to sort of go a little downhill towards the end of the day on some of the days at the festival, and it would be something outside of the Grade 1 races that would create a bit of a buzz.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, with a bit of thinking, it could work. It was something that Sir Peter O'Sullivan wanted to do, and well, Cheltenham were, it was all, he almost, he put a bit of pressure on, I think it was almost his dying wish to have a seller at the Cheltenham Festival, and the executive were absolutely appalled by the idea.
Well, a nice segue, because the National Chase was for a few years named after, in honour of Sir Peter O'Sullivan. Ruby, this is the day, well, when back when it was a three-day festival, where you had your first ever ride at the festival. Do you remember?
Sure I do, but it wasn't. I get confused with what my first ride was.
I was going to ask you, you had two, I think, on
I
that
didn't.
Day? No?
The National Hunt Chase is now run on the Tuesday.
Right.
But when I started riding, it was run on the Wednesday.
Okay.
So my first ride at the festival actually was on the Tuesday, but it was in the Cume Yore. I rode Papillon and he finished eighth.
Okay, right. So the next day then was your second ride. Second, third.
Yeah, I had three rides the following day.
You did. You had three rides the following day. Do you remember who you rode in the National Chase?
I rode That's What I Thought from Mouse Morris. He finished second. It was a big price too. He was 20 or 25 to 1. He finished second to a horse ridden by
Rupert Whiteley.
Yes, trained by Captain Foster.
And you rode in the Coral Cup?
In the Arkle Colours.
I rode in the Coral Cup. I rode Native Darrig. Fran Berry was second. Conor O'Dwyer was third. Charlie was fourth. I was fifth. And I only remember that because...
Who won it?
Barry Fenton rode the winner. We were the last four into the home straight in the first circuit. I remember thinking, God, we're a long way back, and looking and seeing Conor and Charlie, and Fran was just in front of me thinking, well, if they're here, I can't be in that wrong a place. What won it? Barry Fenton rode the winner on...
Somewhat controversial horse. Trained by it was the Jack Ramsden.
Topsies.
The last horse to be booed into the winner's enclosure at Cheltenham before...
Well, I was in the back paddock, so I finished fifth, so I couldn't tell you what to do to the horse in the winner's enclosure.
I think Richard Hughes rode in that race as well.
Jeez, there's a few flat jockeys in. Not a bad second day. Second, fourth and first on your second, third and fourth rides.
Good. Second, fifth. Nave Darry was fifth, yeah.
Okay.
That's what I thought. Right. Second, Alexander Banker won the bumper, beat Joe Mack, yeah.
You must have thought this was easy, this Cheltenham Festival there.
That was a great place, yeah.
Yeah. They weren't paying extra places on the Coral Cup that day.
No, probably not. Not on course. You never know. Yeah. Not on course. Let's talk about the National Chase, guys. I'll get Ruby's take on Willie's runners. But Gordon Elliott, again, look, every horse we talk about could be going Brown Advisory, could be going to National Chase, or most of them anyway. Chemical Energy has looked mightily impressive, and Jerry Colomb, the two for Gordon.
I can't see Jerry Colomb running in the National Hunt Chase. I'd kick that out of the park straight away. He's a very, very high-class horse, but he's surely going Brown Advisory. Chemical Energy, he's an obvious one to run in the race, given that he won by, 60 lengths?
Something like that, yeah.
And he beat Mahler Mission, and Mahler Mission's gone and actually looked pretty good, winning yesterday. So, in a strict form line suggests he's got a massive chance, but Mahler Mission didn't jump that day. It ended up essentially being a schooling session for Chemical Energy. The surprising thing was how strongly he saw it out, because he didn't go a slow gallop. You know, he was tested, and he looked like he would relish a bit further. Now he's unproven over further than that, and he was running over 2.5 miles at the festival last year. But I think he'd run him in the race. Whether he's good enough to win it is another matter altogether. I think, you know, the bare form of what he did there, ignoring Mahler Mission, I think you've got to ignore Mahler Mission, is a decent enough performance, but it puts him well over stone and a half behind the favourite. So it shows what kind of task he has. And whether there'll be that many who'll be keen to take Gaillard de Menil on in the race is a big question.
Small field again?
Another small field, I think. Yeah. You look at it, it's a thin-looking race already.
Yeah. Well, Ruby, on that, you were on Road to Cheltenham and you suggested or said to Lydia that you'd prefer if this went back to the old way. Explain the differences between the...
When I rode, that's what I thought. But look, you can't say, oh, back in my day. I'm not suggesting that for 1 second, but there was 25 runners in that race, I think. It was a huge field. But it was for horses, so at the start of the season, literally had to be a maiden, hadn't there, Rory?
They had to be a maiden at the time they were entered.
And that was the
so not even the start of the season, but a maiden entry.
So then it went back to the start of the season. They could have won a bumper, but you couldn't have won a hurdle race. Obviously, you couldn't have won a chase because you wouldn't be a novice, but you couldn't have won a hurdle race. And I think you could maybe have won a bumper. But it definitely, what it did was it didn't allow the likes of Gaillard and Med Neil a winning hurdler. It didn't allow Chemical Energy, Jerry Calam, Ramillies, Frontal Assault. None of those, Kilcrut, none of those horses would qualify, because they had all won hurdle races. So it was obviously down a level. Some people would say, well, that's diluting the product. Maybe it is, but it definitely brought a whole different cohort of horses to the Cheltenham Festival. So that's what I'm suggesting. It's never going to happen. It is what it is now. And you have four novice chases. So,
do you think there's a Goldilocks where we can push it back to 4 miles or something? Where it is just...
I was shortened for safety reasons. So you have to respect the objective of what the executive were doing, trying to make it a race with less fallers, really. That's why the distance was shortened, in the hope that the less distance would shorten the amount of horses that fell over. But I think the disparity between the range of horses in the race, when you get horses of the quality of Gaillard and Mez Neil, but you're then getting horses way, way lower in the ratings trying to compete with them, that's where that happens. You end up with horses trying to keep up with better ones to get tired. And I think if you just made them all of the one level, it would be easier. And it'll be easier to make them all of the one level down in grade than it is to make them all of the one level up in grade.
It doesn't have to be a graded race. But once it's gone graded, then it's difficult to try.
It used to be listed when it had all those. Because you couldn't have it
if
as
you think
race.
Of the heritage of the race, it was for gentlemen amateur riders, it was the race of the season for them. And it was for their beloved hunters, essentially. Mm. And these horses were maidens at starting, but some of them been running in the point field and some of them been doing various other things. But they were all, you know, proper hunting stock, and they've been well bought and trained for this race. Before the Gold Cup existed, the National Hunt Chase was the race of the Cheltenham Festival. That and the
biggest
Grand
trophy,
annual.
I think. Is it the biggest trophy?
The Fox Hunters is huge.
Biggest trophy, yeah.
So you know, things have moved on. You don't get horses like that. You don't get those gentleman amateur riders in the first place, or military riders and owner breeders and stuff who were riding their own horses. Those are very much bygone days. That was a Victorian thing, really.
Patrick Mullins is not a gentleman, race. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
Cod, Barry O'Neill. These are fine gentlemen.
There are gentlemen and there are gentlemen.
Let's talk about Gaillard de Menil, Ruby, because if we're going to have a small field, he looks near certain to go for this. This looks perfect for him.
Yeah, Patrick's making the case that
I'm sure
he wants him to go there, and he's trying to say, well, look, he wasn't good enough in last year's Brown Advisory. He's fallen short of grade one level until this year when he did beat Churchstone Warrior at Leopardstown. That race did fall apart with a few fallers in the back straight. So, yeah, look, I can see Patrick's point. Paul Townend is probably saying to Willie Mullins that, yeah, he's entitled to his place in the Brown Advisory, because I'm not sure what else Willie has for it. So, you know, it'll be...
Who's this being made? Is this being made to Joe Donnelly, or is it to Willie Mullins?
To Willie Mullins.
To Willie Mullins, who will then tell Joe Donnelly what he's doing.
I'm sure Willie will have a chat with Joe and Mary Donnelly to see what they think as well. But, look, he qualifies for the race, but, look, he'll obviously run at the Dublin Racing Festival and... You'll get a bigger inclination then as to where he's going to go. But like, if he drops back in trip at the DRF and wins another grade one, wouldn't be surprised if he runs the Brown Advisory.
He'd be the biggest stat buster ever, though, to win a Brown Advisory on second attempt. Like, there can't have been that many horses we've even done
but
that.
But the whole thing about stat busting is you need to have... Busting a stat means 100 horses have tried to do this and none of them have won and this horse is doing it. When it's no horses have tried this, therefore
you're
can't do it.
You're not busting a stat.
Yeah, you're not really busting a stat.
It's okay, true.
But it probably brings up the anomaly again with what is a novice.
Yeah.
Like, you're a novice. Obviously, we know what a novice is, but after having 14 runs, should you in theory still be a novice? He hasn't had 14, but there are other horses.
Yeah.
Should you in theory be a novice with the amount of experience he has?
So explain to us, why is he still a novice?
Because he didn't win a novice chase last season, so he's won a novice chase this season, which in theory means he's a novice. But my understanding of the word novice would be inexperienced, which probably flies in the face of what second season novices... Well, not second season, he's a first season novice, but having had a whole season running over fences.
Yeah, it is an anomaly. In that conversation between William Mullins and Joe Donnelly, Joe might say...
Don't know, I've never been involved in one of those.
Well, I'm just saying, Joe might say, theoretically, I've got Rimmel is a perfect horse for that race.
Does he stay?
I don't know. I'm asking. Is he a perfect horse for the race?
City Theatre in there as well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he'd put City Chief. He'd
City Chief
do a bit well. Better, wouldn't he?
Chief. Oh, yeah, he does. Johnny wasn't Ramelay, very good.
Didn't look to stay behind the nice guy twice. He went 3 miles last year.
Okay. So possibly, maybe not.
Yeah, he's beaten 3 times by the last guy, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Anything else at Willie's? We saw Tenzing beaten yesterday.
Could Crutt step up? Tenzing would have to improve. Mahler Mission would definitely be the interesting one. I think, am I right, was he to go here? I think he's a wonderful jumper. Looks like a really strong stayer of Henry's. Would be one with a good chance as well. Willie obviously has a couple of handicappers in there, like Captain Kangaroo, Chavez, who won seated rider early at Down Royal. Plenty of horses in there, but obviously Guy Ardomenia stands out, but... Look, I'm not trying to put anybody through anything here. I will be watching the DRF and see how Gaillard and Menil gets on. And you can figure it out for yourself after
What's
that.
What's the trip? Is it 3 at DRF?
No, it's 2 miles 6.
2.5.
So if he... So then let's try and put ourselves into the anti-pulse mode now. If he stays on into second or third in that race...
As he did last year.
We're thinking, right, they definitely are going to... Well, Patrick's case is stronger.
Patrick's case is stronger.
But if he wins that 2.6 then, or 2.5...
Well, Paul's case gets stronger because he's won 2 Grade 1s. He didn't quite get home in the Irish National. Do you think he's going to stay, Willie? I think you're better off running the Brown Advisory. And Patrick's arguing the other side. So, yeah, that's...
When are these conversations...
All fair love and war, isn't it?
When are these... Are these over a kitchen table, a cup of tea, these conversations?
No, these are just one-line comments dropped in every now and then.
Really?
It's going to land in Willie's mind.
As you're on the horse walking by, it's like, definitely National. See you later.
Do you think he stays?
Just need a seed in there.
Possible small field, Rory. Probable small field. Talk to us about Hidden Heroics, who's won by about a distance, the old distance, probably.
Listen, Hidden Heroics. Well, he was beaten by City Chief last season over hurdles, getting weight from him. So on that line, if you say they take their hurdling form over defences, then he's got a bit of work to do there. But he's won very easily at Exeter and at Cheltenham, but he had ended up with nothing to beat, really, on either occasion. 4-runner race, the first one. One of them refused. So, again, he didn't... There were one or two potentially nice horses against him, but nothing seemed to really give the running. He jumped well. He jumped well, again, largely at Cheltenham. He wasn't absolutely foot perfect, but he was, you know, he was asked to go and do his job. He looked like he would stay very well. He's out of a mare... called Queen de Sivola, who I think was unraced, but she is a half-sister to a horse called Neen de Sivola, who never won a race in about 5 seasons over fences, but he ran in the National Hunt Chase twice, and he was travelling well when falling at the second last, I think, the first time around. Ferdy Murphy trained, had a season off, then came back 2 years later and finished 3rd in it.
Right.
There's certainly, on pedigree, he's absolutely full of stamina, so this seems the race for him. So if you're looking for something that's going to turn up and give you each way value, then Hidden Heroics might well be the one, because you could easily... There wasn't an English horse in this race last year.
There were
two horses from the home team. They're both trained by Rebecca Curtis in Wales. So you may not have that, especially if Gaillard de Menil looks like he's going to turn up. I don't think there are too many English-trained horses. There'll be one or two trainers with old-fashioned owners who like supporting the National Hunt Chase who might run their horses, but they won't be horses with massive chances on form. So it could easily fall apart in terms of the numbers. So Hidden Heroics, I would have thought he wouldn't be going over any shorter than this. I think he's from a family that stays. He looked like they didn't have any concerns about his stamina when he ran at Cheltenham last time out. The form isn't, you know, the fact that he's won by 68 lengths or whatever in those two races is wildly misleading. But clearly he's got plenty of ability and he should stay the trip. And the stable does have one or two amateur jockeys living at home. So no problem sticking him in there. So if you're looking for one each way that you can say on the day when 4 of them line up, I've backed this each way 3 places, all I've got to do is stand up to collect, that might be the horse you want to back. But I don't think he's a winner. I think he's he's one of those that just might, you know, is likely to turn up and should run his race.
That's nearly half the battle with Antipulse Punting.
If Gaillard de Menil turns up, he was giving loads of weight away, a stone or more away to the pair who beat him in the Irish National last year over 3 mile 5. So, you know, you could have argued in the old days stepping up to 4 miles might just stretch him a little bit. But stepping up from 3 mile five to 3 mile six is slightly less of a concern.
Plus in a small field, potentially, where they're exactly. not going hell for leather. All right, Rui, decision time. Give us a winner of the National Chase.
Look, obviously, it's hard to oppose Guy Ardemenil, but he's that kind of price as well, PK, so yep. it's not an anti-post bet to me. I would be siding with John McConnell's horse, Malamission. Okay. I thought he was good last Saturday at Navan under Ben Harvey. I think he jumps and he stays. I'd forgive him his run at Cheltenham in October behind Chemical Energy. That was off the back of a summer's break. And I think he just needed the run. I think he'll go back to his novice hurdle form. He beat the real whacker at Doncaster. Yeah, he was seven to the nice guy in the Albert Bartlett. And he beat complete unknown then at Perth. I loved him at Navan, how he jumped. I think he's solid. And from listening to Ben Harvey's interview afterwards, you got the feeling Mahler Mission was running here. So
that helps. That helps does. Getting a horse to run in the race, particularly if it's small field. Rory, winner or a bet?
Well, again, there's not an awful lot of scope for a bet. I think it's a good point that Ruby makes about Mahler Mission, of course. The people might side against him because they're looking at course form and saying, look, he was unplaced in the Albert Bartlett, and then he ran poorly was it October or November? So they might, you know, people will field against him, and he was a different horse altogether there, and he was a nice horse last year. I quite liked him. But I wouldn't want to be against Garrett Dominion if he's coming here. But, you know, the possibility, as Ruby says, that he actually gets rerouted to a different race means it's very hard to back a horse at 13 to 8, as he is at the moment. But he
Could you see him go off odds on?
I think he's got a massive chance of going off odds on. I think, you know, he's even money in places where people are betting.
But you say odds on, right? Just for me doing maths. So he's short of 2 to 1 now.
13 to 8?
13 to 8,
he's short of 2 to 1, yeah. Isn't that short of 2 to 1?
Well, short of 2 to 1, sorry.
Oh, yes, correct. Yeah.
I thought it was when I was in school, anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
Short of. So, how far odds on could you see him going off?
Well, again, this depends whether it's going to be a 10 runner race or a 5 runner race. I could see him. Well, it comes at the end. Comes at the end of the day, so you could have accumulators running up, especially on the Tuesday. I could see him being a 4 to 7 or 8 to 15.
This is the last race on the Tuesday. And that was a question, sorry. So you've already had Fasel Vega, you've had Constitution Hill.
It's always the day for the Akers, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is a possibility.
John Bond,
and he's a real shorty in the mares. That could be competitive.
Maybe
this becomes the fourth leg of it.
Yeah.
But like you're saying 1 to 2, so if you're talking anti-post betting, so it's short of 2 to 1 to short of 1 to 2. What's the difference there? How many points?
Many.
Two? Well, is it 2 full points?
Points, yeah. At that stage, points doesn't make it. Becomes,
there's
it becomes,
a guard
it
back
in
a 20 to 1 shot to a 10 to 1 shot. If you're trying to equate the difference, what's the difference of back in a 2 to 1 shot?
5 percentage now? Points, so yeah.
I'll let Rory pick that one up. Thanks very much.
Sorry.
So you're looking at he's almost a 40% chance at the moment, and you're thinking he's going to be 60% chance on the day.
Yeah.
Roughly.
I think stays on second or third, Leopardstown, he goes even.
That's exactly what you want to see, because you know he liked the sort of mid race pace last year and then kept on, it looks tailor made for him. The worry is that he's just too good.
And if you do want to back him, find Patrick Mullins at Leopardstown and give him help.
What will Ramirez do between now and then?
I'd imagine he'd run at the DRF because he didn't run at the Madigans last weekend, so. That would be the next obvious place to go for him. But he's looked like, even though he's winning Thurles, the way he jumped and galloped in front. Now, I know he only beat Tenzing, who was beaten in Navan since, but he did look like a horse that would be better off just let rock along over shorter rather than trying to get him to stay further.
Mahler's Mission, Guy Ardemenil. Can I put you down for that? Or do you want...
Yeah, well, go on, put me down.
Guy Ardemenil. You know, we did say we'd ask some questions to the lads that you popped on the YouTube channel. Emma McCarthy, in your opinion, lads, of all the races at the Cheltenham Festival, what is the best trial or prep for the Grand National Ruby First?
At Cheltenham?
Yeah.
It would appear to be the cross-country race of late, Rory, would it?
Yeah, yeah.
Answered. Asked and
or you
answered.
Or you could throw the Kimura in. Ideally, what you want is a race over a trip that gives you an opportunity of expressing yourself, but isn't too tough. Mm. And the cross country has proven to be a really good stepping stone since Silver Birch did that. Gordon realised that was the perfect way of doing it.
Your man ran the Pertemps, didn't he? Pinot de Rey
did. Yeah. If you can run in the Pertemps Grand, don't run in the Gold Cup. Is pretty much the only negative there. It's never been
complacent, can't you, after running in the Gold Cup? But that's what you're going to get.
Rough quest.
Yeah. Rough quest. If you're placing the Gold Cup, but it's there's very very few, and there's a lot of Gold Cup winners who've looked well handicapped going to entry, and none of them have done it other than Golden Miller.
Lovely.
And he hated entry.
Well, he definitely liked Cheltenham. Was the Gold Cup a trial for the Grand National? He won 5 Gold Cups.
Yeah, the Grand National's worth a lot more than the Gold Cup, and the Gold Cup is a reasonably new
still
race
is.
At that stage.
Yeah, it still is. Still over a million. Yeah,
yeah, but you know, the Grand National also had that. It had the cachet. It was a race you really wanted to win, not just for the money. It was deemed to be the ultimate challenge. The Gold Cup was a newish race. It took a while to bed in, and the Gold Cup horses, until Golden Miller came around, weren't really deemed to be the greatest. And after that, then you saw the quality, not get better, because Golden Miller was exceptional. Everyone thought he was the greatest horse around at the time, by the way. These days, people are more I thought Golden Miller was better than Arkell. A lot of people in those days would have said, you know, Easter Hero was a much better horse than Golden Miller. Golden Miller was a bit too racy for old-fashioned times.
Right, okay.
What else is the Grand National?
What else?
Is it?
Is the Grand, like, it's a handicap.
Yeah. But it's the only £1 million jump race.
In the UK? Is that one in Japan?
No, Nakayama Grand Jump? Ireland, no.
No? Oh, it's okay. Well, it's worth a few quid. Ruby
knows exactly what a percentage was from that, so yeah.
10%.
I'd have been guessing slightly.
10%, isn't it? There's no bonuses. Was there any bonuses?
No, but listen, you look at it, you say like the Gold Cup's Grand National worth more than the Gold Cup. When you look at jump race and then look at the flat, like, the count, was there £1 million flat race globally once a week?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. And
Middle East, there's once every 3 days, I think, now at this stage. Yeah. So, yeah, there's plenty of them. Right, that's it. Thanks a million to the lads for their thoughts on the National Chase and the Bumper. Do check out paddypower.com. Go to the Cheltenham section for some enhances. A reminder, if you are listening to this as a podcast, you can watch it on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. We'll post this show and all the remaining shows around about noon on Tuesdays. Hopefully, you can catch all of those shows. Remember, like, subscribe, comment on each of the shows, and you get yourself in with a chance of winning a free 50 quid bet, as we've already given out earlier on today. Next week, we'll be back with the Turners and the Mares. Ruby won that a few times. Five? You only won it on her, did you?
No, 7.
7? All on Kaviga and...
Benny,
did you? How did I forget her? So we're back for that. Remember, also, as a nice little bonus for you, if you haven't had enough Cheltenham content, we have a brand new podcast starting, and it concerns a man everyone has been asking for, a young Frank Hickey. Frank Hickey and Tom are going to be looking at all the Cheltenham races that we've been looking at, and hopefully giving even more depth to what we've been giving you. So watch out for that as a podcast. I think it's officially a spin-off of this. Any famous spin-offs that you can think of?
We'll listen to it.
You'll listen to it. You've got a famous spin-off, The Happy Days.
Joni loves Chachi.
Tom loves Frank. Watch out for Tom Loves Frank, the famous spin-off to this. 7 weeks to go, folks. Remember, do like, subscribe and comment. Get those questions in for the lads, or email at fthm@paddypower.com as well. That's another way to get your questions on. Until next week, until this weekend as well, as part of the podcast, the lads will be looking ahead to the weekend.
Fahine maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. Fahine's a champion.